welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AMSAT Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1625, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, August 19th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, August the 20th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we are on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy. They both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's other links, including the 146.7 repeater downtown, and other repeaters, and the AMSAT DMR talk group, 98006, YSF Fusion, 11689, the All-Star node, 572580, and Echolink, star, AMSAT star, when all those digital connections are working. So I will now take a local check-ins, or actually any check-ins, to the Houston AMSAT Net. Come now. Okay, we're going to start with our announcement from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And that is that they hold their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month. And that's usually 4:30 p.m. here local. They meet at a restaurant. And then again at 8 p.m., they meet online. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. And, of course, that's using the application Zoom. And we appreciate Walter and John, AB5SS, and Walter K5WH, keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team cranking and putting out balloons there. Okay, let's see, we're going over here to the AMSAT News Service Bulletin. And this is ANS Bulletin number 229 from Mark Johns, K0JM. The AMSAT News Service Bulletins are free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. On the news feed over at www.amsat.org, publishes news of amateur radio in space. As soon as our volunteers can post it, please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, you can call and check in to the Houston AMSAT Net by making a quick phone check-in, 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Handys like to say. Or you can also send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making tonight's URLs available over on our website, and that's at www.amsatnet.com. So if you'd like to follow along with any of the topics or delve into them deeper, you can just click on the links there that Bruce has made available on the front page. MESAT-1 has been named a finalist in the Global Satellite Contest. That's MESAT-1, or MO-122, which is Maine's first research satellite developed by the University of Maine and with collaboration from AMSAT Engineering, was a finalist for the SmallSat Rookie of the Year Award, which is sponsored by the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics.
W5BSA repeater.
And this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see here. MO-122 was launched into orbit on July the 4th, 2024. MESAT-1 was developed to get students involved in space science. The cost-effective nanosatellite, which measures 11.8 inches, is outfitted with four multispectral cameras that were designed to capture climate-related Earth imagery for experiments designed by Maine K through 12 students. And AMSAT provided LTM-1 linear transponder provides services to amateur radio enthusiasts around the world. In October of 2024, at the request of the University of Maine, AMSAT designated MESAT-1 as MESAT-1-OSCAR-122 or MO-122.
PL-123.
Quote, access to space data motivates and excites students to learn fundamental skills in mathematics and science and helps them see the importance of STEM careers, said University of Maine Vice President for Research and Dean of the Graduate School, Cody Verheimeren, who led the establishment of University of Maine's Space Initiative. He said, being selected as a finalist for SmallSat Rookie of the Year is a national recognition of what Maine students and their faculty researchers can accomplish together. Finalists for the SmallSat Award included teams from the University of Arizona, the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and international missions from Senegal and Croatia. MESAT-1 stands out as a mission that empowered kindergarten through 12 students from Falmouth High School, Freiburg Academy, and Sacco Middle School to contribute to space exploration. The winner, announced during the 39th Annual Small Satellite Conference from August the 10th through the 13th in Salt Lake City, was CroCube, the first Croatian satellite. CroCube also operates as an amateur radio satellite with a CW beacon and a GFSK 9600 AX.25 G3REUH telemetry beacon, and that operates at 436.775 megahertz. MESAT-1 was designed, built, and tested by students and faculty at University of Maine in partnership with the University of Southern Maine, the Wells National Estuarian Research Reserve, and AMSAT, the Amateur Radio Satellite Corporation, with support from NASA and the Maine Space Grant Consortium. The satellite's development and integration for launch was led by Ali Abedi, who formerly served as Associate Vice President for Research and a professor at the University of Maine. This effort is part of the broader University of Maine Space Initiative, which is working to develop space workforce and grow Maine's presence in the space economy, including plans for a future Maine spaceport complex. This recognition puts Maine on the map as a state that not only builds satellites, but also builds opportunities for students, teachers, researchers, and entrepreneurs, Vera Hiramian said. ANS thanks the University of Maine and smallsat.org for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, your 2025 President's Club coin is waiting. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight and help support the Golf and Fox Plus projects. Join the AmSat President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/ join-v-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, the 2025 AMSAT Board of Directors election is still continuing. Nomination period for the 2025 AMSAT Board of Directors election ended on June the 15th, 2025. The following candidates have been duly nominated, and their candidate statements can be found at a link that we'll have here in a minute. And let's see, the candidates are Barry Baines, WD4ASW, Jerry Buxton in 0JY, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, Frank UW, and Douglas Tabor in 6UA. Four seats on the Board of Directors up for election this year. The four candidates receiving the largest number of votes shall be declared elected to the seats. The candidate receiving the next votes shall be declared the first alternate. The voting period opened on July the 15th, 2025, and shall conclude on September the 15th, 2025. Results will be announced no later than September the 30th, 2025. Okay, AMSAT members can review the candidate statements and cast their ballots, and that's over at launch.amsat.org/2025-BOD-election. Okay, we want to thank Douglas Tabor in 6UA, AMSAT Secretary, for that information. This is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, we're right at quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a look around and see who we've got checking into the net here. From Charlie in a few days. We're going to have to ring his bell over there. That's K5ENG, and he's over there in the West Houston. Let's see, we have Dale, WD0AKO. He's over there in Moorhead, Minnesota, from the North Country, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we have had to use it there in the past a couple times, so we appreciate Dale doing that for us. And I hope he's doing good up there. And then we heard from Vern, WA0RCR, last week. And let's see, he is retransmitting our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting this on the top band. Okay, let's see. We didn't hear from Kai this week, but we got N6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and lots of times he calls and checks in while he's doing his mail route. So we always appreciate getting a check in there from Kai, and I hope he's doing good. Let's see, from APRS. Looks like nothing there, but from the Internet Relay Chat System, let's see, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and we got Marty from him over there on the chat, so we want to say hello to he and to Rachy. And then we got KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, K8WX, Bob, and W8QHV. listening from EchoLink. We've got Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston. Good evening, Andrew. Hope he's doing good and managed to stay away from that buckled seawall there that they had to repair overnight. Saw some videos of cars kind of going flying up in the air as they went over that. So it looked like a pretty crack, pretty good crack there developed in the seawall, and it made a pretty good elevated little spot there for a while.
DL-123.
Okay, let's see, we got Bob, K9OIM, good evening to him. Hello to Mitch, 80HJ, he's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. Of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night ham satnet that takes place over on the digital stuff over on DMR. And that's on the DMR AMSAT Digital Talk Group, 98006. And on YSF Fusion, it's 11689. And as well as other connected means there. So that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So especially if you're going to be doing any roving or making any grid squares available on satellites, you might let Mitch know, and they appreciate that stuff. Okay, we've also got Bruce, KK5VO, and of course, thanks to him, we've got the URLs available, and he keeps our website going, and keeps satellite award information up there, since he is the satellite award guy for AMSAT. So we'll appreciate hearing from Bruce up there in Roman Forest. Right, hello to Damien, HE9P. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. He's been a listener for many years. As Steve, good evening to Steve, KA5YFC. He's a reliable listener there, and we sure do appreciate seeing you checked in every week. We have Indoff, N6UTC, and he's out there in Long Beach, California. So we'll hope Indoff's doing good this evening. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Once again, you can call and check in with a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. An APRS message to WV5Y and an email to WV5Y@comcast.net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase M2 LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware. And that's a direct link over there to the store. Organizations continue to challenge AST Space Mobile use of their ham radio spectrum. Okay, they've logged, they're facing more than 2,500 complaints now from amateurs. AST Space Mobile has responded by telling the FCC that has designed its satellites to mitigate interference with amateur radio bands. Well, I think if that was true, they would not be on our frequencies. On August the 5th, the company replied to the U.S. Federal Communications Commission defending its plan to use the 430 to 440 megahertz radio bands outside the U.S. to track and control its proposed fleet of 248 satellites. The company says it's proposing very limited, non-routine use of the 430 to 440 megahertz bands, and only for launch and early orbit phases for satellites or emergency operations when other frequency bands are unavailable. Oh yeah, we'll only talk to them when they're overhead. AST SpaceMobile's attempt to justify its use of the amateur radio band for its satellites has done little to assuage concerns from the amateur radio community. Quote, AST is again economical with the truth, end quote. An amateur radio operator in Germany named Mario Lorenz wrote to the FCC on August the 8th. The amateur radio community says AST is already using those bands. On August the 8th, AMSAT Deutschland sent a letter to the FCC that says amateur radio users have detected signals from AST satellites over the radio bands. The claim is therefore either a misrepresentation or a deliberate falsehood, AMSAT Deutschland wrote. In particular, AST's Blue Walker 3 satellite was spotted using the radio band up until July 23rd as the amateur radio community began campaigning against the spectrum use. It also raises questions about AST's technical maturity, the group added. Other large-scale satellite operators, such as SpaceX, with over 6,000 Starlink satellites in orbit, appear to manage TT&C, or telemetry tracking and command functions, without resorting to the use of the amateur UHF band. Sometimes you just have to actually pay for some of the amateur or the radio spectrum you want to use for business use. Okay, we want to say thanks to the PC Magazine for that information. You can read the full article over at www.pcmag.com/news/ham-radio-users-explain-what-they're-worried-about-AST-SpaceMobiles-satellite. Okay, let's see, coming in 2025, some new hardware for hams. It's the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It's going to have some tremendous coverage from 144 MHz through 6 GHz continuous. Support direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band operations. And up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so there's some plans for 5 and 10 GHz. All mode, CW, single sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, SFTV, ATV, etc. On almost any mode you'd like. Minimum downlink is a data rate of 1 megabit per second, and it's built to fly on the Fox Plus and the Golf missions. All right, we'll be following the AMSAT News Service for more information, and following AMSAT engineers, keeping amateur radio in space. That comes from the Ascent project, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology. Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, we're just about at the bottom of the hour here, so So we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any check-ins. So we have any check-ins for the Houston Amstrad Net? Come now. All right, registration remains open for the Amstrad Symposium, and they're still inviting presentations to be given. Registrations and room reservations remain available for the 43rd Annual Amstrad Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. That's to be held Thursday, October the 16th, to Sunday, October the 19th. And that's at the Holiday Inn and Suites at the Phoenix Airport North, 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona.
DL-123.
Early bird registration remains available until the 15th, and that's over at launch.amsat.org/events. Rooms for the 43rd AMSAT Annual Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting have been going fast, but more are now available. At an affordable price of $140 per night plus tax, these rooms will go fast. More information of room reservations can be found, and that's at www.amsat.org/43rd-amsat-space-symposium-and-annual-general-meeting. Of course, thanks to Bruce, these URLs are available over at amsatnet.com. Published with its slides in the proceedings. Proposals should be sent to Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, via f.karnauskas@amsat.org. All right, the keynote speaker at the symposium will be Liam Cheney, an aerospace consultant and founder of Footstep Aerospace by AG3 LLC. Mr. Cheney supports mission integration, strategy, and business development for the space industry. He holds a master's degree in aerospace engineering from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and is a certified project management professional and a member of AMSAT. And ANS thanks AMSAT for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. A NASA satellite that scientists and farmers rely on may be destroyed on purpose. The Trump administration has asked NASA employees to draw plans to end at least two major satellite missions, according to current and former NASA staffers. If the plans are carried out, one of the missions will be permanently terminated because the satellite would burn up in the atmosphere. The data the two missions collect is widely used, including by scientists, oil and gas companies, and farmers who need detailed information about carbon dioxide and crop health. They are the only two federal satellite missions that were designed and built specifically to monitor planet warming greenhouse gases. It is unclear why the Trump administration seeks to end the missions. Is it really? The equipment in space is state-of-the-art and is expected to function for many more years, according to scientists who worked on the missions. An official review by NASA in 2023 found that the data are of exceptionally high quality and recommended continuing the mission for at least 3 more years. Both missions, known as the Orbiting Carbon Observatories, measure carbon dioxide and plant growth around the globe. They use identical measurement devices. The one device is attached to a standalone satellite, while the other is attached to the International Space Station. The standalone satellite would burn up in the atmosphere if NASA pursued its plans to terminate the mission.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Presidential budget proposals are wish lists, but often bear little resemblance to final congressional budgets. The Orbiting Carbon Observatory missions have already achieved and received funding from Congress through the end of the 2025 fiscal year, which ends September the 30th. Draft budgets that Congress is currently considering for the next year keep NASA funding basically flat. But it's not clear whether these specific missions will receive funding again or if Congress will pass a budget before current funding expires on September the 30th. Last week, NASA announced it will consider proposals from private companies and universities that are willing to take on the cost of maintaining the device that is attached to the International Space Station, as well as another device that measures ozone in the atmosphere. The missions are calling Orbiting Carbon Observatories because they were originally designed to measure carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Photosynthesis is happening in their cells, and that photosynthesis gives off very specific wavelength of light. The OCO instruments in space measure that light all over the planet. NASA and others have turned this happy accident into an incredibly valuable set of maps of plant photosynthesis around the world, explains Scott Denny, a longtime climate scientist at the Colorado State University who worked on the OCO missions and is now retired. Lo and behold, we also get these lovely high-resolution maps of plant growth, he says, and that's useful to farmers, useful to rangeland and grazing and drought monitoring and forest mapping and all kinds of things in addition to carbon dioxide measurements. those website addresses once again. It's www.amsatnet.com for our net. And Bruce is put up there, KK5DO. And he's also got good award information. So if you'd like to get a certificate or an award for making satellite contacts, he's got information on how you can do that. And since he is the award guy for AMSAT, and then there's more of that over at AMSAT, and that's over at www.amsat.org. And you can find information on the satellites, like the frequencies that they're operating on, the status of how they're doing, if they're operational or currently non-operational. And then there's the store over there. You can buy satellite antennas, and you can find out information about the upcoming symposium. All right. Once again, that's right over at www.amsat.org. We do have some changes to the AMSAT North America TLE distribution, and that's for August the 15th. True-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. And weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So if you just download the updated file once a week, that'll keep all your satellite tracking programs showing the satellites in their current correct positions. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. Sometimes it takes a few days for them to straighten out and kind of separate from the other debris and other satellites and before they get a good lock on their KEPs, but then they post them. And you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. With ham TV becoming active on the International Space Station, orbital elements are now updated twice daily and www.amsat.org/TLE. at 0018 and 1218 UTC. The intention is to have high-quality TLE available to accurately calculate Doppler shift for the 2.935 GHz downlink that HamTV is using. Observations comparing these TLE to those that were calculated based on euphemerides and TLE produced by Johnson Space Center the last time HamTV was active are desired. You can write F. Fitzgerald at AMSAT.org, and that's F-F-I-T-Z-J-E-R-A-L-D at AMSAT.org. Assignments to some of the Tevel 2 satellites have been updated to match the object numbers. And the following satellites have been removed from this week's distribution, and that's CSIM, or NORAD Catalog ID 43793, decayed from orbit on or about the 9th of August of 2025. And we will thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Okay, the AMSAT remove before flight key tags are available. They're lovely bright red with white lettering on them. they removed before flight on one side. They have the AMSAT logo and name on the other side. And yes, they are the real thing, just like what they use on the satellites. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. So it does include first class postage, but only, sorry, that's in the U.S. only. And you can order today, and that's at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. And let's see, we've got completed the North Sultanov International Aerospace School in the Republic of Bashkortostan, Russia, has direct via KC-4P. The ISS call sign was ISS. The crew member, Sergei Rykinov. ARS Mentor was RV-3DR, and the contact was successful on Monday, 8-11-2025 at 0751 UTC. Youngsters on the air, Jamville, France, has a contact direct via FX5YOTA. The ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS with crew member Mike Fink, KE5AIT. And the ARS mentor is F6ICS. The contact is 8-19-2025 at 09-18-53 UTC with a 82-degree elevation. And let's see, they did have a live stream over on YouTube for that one. And then there's the Nexter Stellar, formerly Gemini 1, in Lima, Peru. They had a telebridge via VK4KHZ. ISS call sign, scheduled to be ELA1SS with Zena Cardman, who's the scheduled crew member, KJ5CMN, ARS Mentor, VE6JBJ. And the contact is Wednesday, 8-20-2025 at 14-08-05 UTC with an 81-degree elevation. Okay, the crossband repeater continues to be active on the International Space Station. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, and that's on 437.800 megahertz. You know, you might have to adjust a little bit for that Doppler. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. And the packet system is also active on the ISS. It's on 145.825 megahertz up and down. As always, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And the next expected outage to take place, Ham TV on 2395.00 MHz, which is just below 2.4 GHz, will power down on Monday the 18th of August at 14:15 UTC, and then power back up on Wednesday the 20th of August at approximately 12:35 UTC.
PL-123.
And they say note, all times are approximate. It is recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. The latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found over at www.aeris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use, it's over at www.aeris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we'll thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Aeris Operation Team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. See, we've got some AmSat Ambassador activities, and AmSat Ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and they host information tables at club meetings, handfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. Okay, the top of the list is the August 16th to the 17th, 2025, Huntsville Hamfest for 2025. And that's a pretty big ham fest, it looks like. So, of course, that was last weekend, so it's still on the list. But we hope everything went good over there. And I know I've watched some of the YouTube videos on some of the vendors setting up and stuff. And looks like Heil, and there was a lot of different people there. Okay, let's see, we do have August 21st to the 24th, the Northeast Ham Exposition, or HAMEX, and the New England ARRL Convention. And that takes place at the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center at 181 Boston Post Road West, Marlboro, Massachusetts, 01752. And you can go over to www.hamex.org for more information. And you should see W1EME, WB5ASW, and WB1FJ all there at the AmSat booth. All right, September the 6th, 2025, is the Greater Louisville Hamfest. And that's at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive in Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165. And there's a URL, it's louisvillehamfest.wixsite.com/louisvillehamfest. And I should see Bo Lowry, W4FCL, there, the AmSat Ambassador Program Director. If you want to say hello to Mitch in person, you can find him, 80HJ, over on October the 11th, 2025, at the North Star Radio Convention. And that happens at the Hennepin Technical College, 9000 Brooklyn Boulevard in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55445. And the URL is northstarradio.org. And once again, Mitch, 80HJ, will be a man in the AmSat booth. All right, and then October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th is the big AmSat symposium. The AmSat Board of Directors meeting, of course, takes place on the Thursday before, and then it's 43rd Annual AmSat Space Symposium and the Annual General Meeting. And that happens at the Holiday Inn in Phoenix Airport North, 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And you can find details at www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AmSat Ambassador Program, for that information.
Okay, AMSAT Deutschland will host the Bochum Space Days event from September the 19th to the 21st, 2025. And it's in cooperation with the Bochum Observatory, AMSAT Deutschland. They're offering a varied and informative program aimed at AMSAT members and all space enthusiasts. The focus is on current developments and future prospects for national and international amateur radio satellites and other space projects. Lectures, presentations, and exciting discussions will provide participants with valuable insights into the latest technologies, missions, and research projects in space travel. You can see amsat.org/en/save-v-date-bochum-space-days-2025 for details. Of course, that URL is also over at amsatnet.com, thanks to Bruce. And we want to thank AMSAT DL for that information there. Hey, and if you just happen to read Japanese, the latest JAMSAT newsletter, number 318, includes JAMSAT's next transponder board project called Blueberry Jam, as well as an invitation to Ham Fair 2025 in Tokyo next weekend. See info over at bit.ly/43kow7v. And we want to thank Nico Mori, JA3GEP, JAMSAT newsletter editor, for that information. The September 2025 issue of QST Magazine contains a review of the Halibut Electronics Eggnog's antenna. The reviewer recommends this low-cost egg beater antenna array primarily for receiving and unattended operations such as weather satellite and SatNOG's ground stations. However, the kit has options for low-power uplink transmissions as well. And the detailed review appears on pages 45 to 49 of the magazine, or you can see https://electronics.halibut.com for the manufacturer's website. Okay, we thank QST for that information. And NASA astronaut James A. Lovett, captain, U.S. Navy retired, veteran of the Gemini 7, the Gemini 12, and Apollo 8 missions, before becoming the mission commander for the nearly disastrous Apollo 13 mission to the moon, died, unfortunately, on August the 7th at the age of 97. Lovell joined NASA in 1962 as part of his second group of astronauts. He was selected as backup commander to Neil Armstrong for the Apollo 11 lunar landing mission and would have been the fifth human to walk on the moon had it not been for the Apollo 13 problem. And we will thank NASA for that information. SpaceX is now offering Starship flights to Mars, with Italy signing up as the first customer to send payloads. However, there is no announced start date for providing the service. ANS thanks the Orbital Index for that information, and a way to jump on board early.
CL-123.
Astronomers using the NASA ESA CSA James Webb Space Telescope have found strong evidence of a giant planet orbiting a star in the stellar system closest to our own sun. At just 4 light years away from Earth, the Alpha Centauri triple star system has long been a compelling target in the search for worlds beyond our solar system. If confirmed, the planet would be the closest to Earth that orbits in the habitable zone of a sun-like star. However, because the planet candidate is a gas giant, scientists say it would not support life as we know it. And ANS thanks the European Space Agency for that information. All right, and a newly released report states that in 2023, LIGO, the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory at Caltech, detected the most massive black hole merger yet, in which rapidly spinning black holes with masses of roughly 100 m to the, I don't even know what that symbol is, and 140 m to the something, m something equals solar mass, one solar mass, okay, 1m0 equals one solar mass, merged to form a 225 m, whatever that is, black hole. Notice that 100 plus 140 equals 240 m, whatever, but the final object weighs a meager 225 suns, meaning that 15 m whatevers were converted directly into gravitational energy in this event, totaling 3 by 148 joules, more energy than the combined stellar output of every star in the visible universe in that moment. And ANS thanks to Orbital Index for that information. You can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. Regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships, annual and lifetime terms, you can contact info@amsat.org. for additional membership information. 73, remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, KZOJM, and that's mjohns@amsat.org. Okay, the AMSAT News Service is a service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. They do reside at 712 H Street, ME, Suite 1653. Washington, D.C., 20002. And we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT.net. We look forward to teaching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios and making lots of satellite contacts. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3s from this week from the Houston AMSAT.net.